Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. I'm Kevin Clark along with Matt Malone. We're talking with Xavier University's Christopher Premick. And you can join us in this conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. Chris, thanks for staying with us.
You bet.
We're talking about how to try to remember 9/11, I guess, and how to pass on whatever wisdom we can glean from that horrible experience to people who now just see it as a historical event that, you know, didn't experience it, perhaps anyone under 15 alive today in the United States. And I'm just wondering, you were mentioning before how we need to think about breaking through these barriers of nationalism that you know, sort of the historical events that propelled the attack on 9/11. That might be something very hard for people, especially here in New York, to hear. Is there a way to, you think, approach 9/11 as outside of its own, the history that it's connected to, and still find a way to grieve and deal with that loss? Or is it necessary for us really to look at sort of the vast expanse of history and international economic and political tension that drove that moment, that terrible moment, 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess out of Chris, just deep respect for those who were near it and lost loved ones, I would say yes and yes, both and. That, you know, if I may preface my answer with a memory, I was in Jerusalem in 1998 and meeting with, you know, I was in an interfaith group there, and I'll never forget meeting with a negotiator there named Daniel Rossing, who worked with all sides in the various divides there in Jerusalem. You know, this 2,000 and more history of violence and suspicion. And he said to our group, coming from America, remember, he said, you know, Americans tend to have a fairly short historical memory. But here in Israel, in Palestine, people remember in centuries and in millennia that history kind of hangs in the air in a very profound way. And then he followed with this. He said, people who are traumatized have a very difficult time seeing the other person's trauma, another person's trauma, seeing outside their own kind of circle of trauma. And in that sense, memory can become, as necessary as it is to remember, to honor the dead, memory can become a kind of a prison, a weapon even, to be out of which it's very difficult to break. I remember John Paul II visiting various holy sites in Jerusalem, talking about the need for a purification of memory, you know, when he was referring to crimes against Jews by Christians in the Holy Land and in Europe, etc., and asked forgiveness for those crimes on behalf of Christians, and he appealed to the need for a kind of purification of memory, you know. And so I think for people very much in it, in the trauma, it's very difficult to think outside of that in small ways, much smaller than 9/11. I've experienced moments of trauma and suffering and loss in my own life, and I recognize that when I'm in that, it's just hard to see anything but my own struggle, my own pain, my own loss.
And it's one of the reasons why we need communities to support us, right? Because none of us can really face these tremendous experiences or come to terms with them completely on our own in some isolated way. We needed a family, a church, a community that can help us come to terms with that.
Right.
You know, it also seems to me that in our sort of general memory of this event, it figures as one of the examples in the you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It figures as one of the examples in the oft talked about what the theologians call the problem of evil, right? So in a lot of conversation we have that I've had with folks over the years, you know, they'll say, you know, where was God during such an event? Where was God during this event? Where was God on 9/11? You know, as a theologian, how do you respond to that question?
Well, I listen to the stories, and, you know, Father Jim gives us a great model for that in his book. When near the end of the book, he says, you know, there was a moment when one of these big trucks rumbled by with carrying another load of broken and twisted I-beams, and this was like 2 weeks after the attacks, and he says suddenly it occurred to me those beams were still smoking, they were still burning, still on fire, and he said the image just said to me, look, you haven't seen everything there is to see. In a sense, he was saying it was a profound moment of humility, I think, that when we stand before these unspeakable events, they shatter our imaginative categories. We don't know where to put them. We can't make sense of them rationally. And we try, and as hard as we try, there is no rational answer. There is no good answer to the theodicy problem, the problem of evil. But what Father Jim said after that was, what I have seen is a lot of people caring for each other. I've seen a lot of what I would call moments of grace, of compassion, of selflessness in the first responders and in families and so forth. And so he invites us to see the hand of God in human love, outreaching to one another, to strangers and so forth. When I deal with this question in my classes, and it's central in all of the teaching that I do, the question of suffering and of evil, that's kind of the answer that I arrive at, that the word answer doesn't mean necessarily a rational answer.
Right.
What it can mean is a response. How will we respond to what is given to us? And it's in those moments of trial and of testing that, again, I feel that God invites us. In a sense, God needs us, in a very real sense, to be God's hands and feet in the world. And so for all the darkness and the images that of 9/11 that are so painful, we mustn't overlook, you know, the hidden sparks, the moments of light and goodness that are hidden in the rubble there, if you will, that also speak to us of a God of presence.
We're talking about the 15th anniversary of 9/11 with Dr. Christopher Premuk of Xavier University. You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. That's 888-3-CATHOLIC.
You know, I've never forgotten something I heard that day. It was Thomas Van Essen, who was the fire commissioner in New York, FDNY. Mm-hmm. And I think he kind of touched on a mystery that maybe alluding to a little bit, Chris, when he said he was asked, this was when they were still trying to figure out how badly hurt the New York Fire Department had been that day, and ultimately 343 firefighters were killed. And he said, I know the New York City Fire Department will recover from this. I don't know how, but we will.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know how, but we will. That's amazing. I mean, the image of firefighters going up, you know, while people are pouring down. If I may, for me, Matt, you said earlier that we need communities. I would add also that we need the artists and the poets. We need people who are adept at, you know, discerning the movements of the human spirit in the midst of struggle. For me, you may remember 5 years ago I wrote about Bruce Springsteen's extraordinary album, The Rising.
I remember that well.
And yeah, I mean, and who else could have done this, pulled this off, but Bruce Springsteen? I don't know, but what he does in that album is really, to my mind, quite extraordinary and beautiful, and I dare say miraculous, in the sense that it seems to me he opens up a space for reflection on the events of 9/11 from multiple perspectives, and not as a theorist or theologian or philosopher, but precisely as a poet, as an artist, as a storyteller, you know. And, you know, a number of tracks on that album, really the whole thing, the album as a whole, when I listen to that album again, even today, I'm just deeply moved by this sort of spirit of that dares to remember, but to remember with a sense of deep attention to human capacity for love and for goodness. And the other thing that Springsteen gestures to there, and it may be some of his Catholic roots as a kid growing up in a kind of a Catholic environment, but he does this all over his music. He gestures a little to the possibility of resurrection, that behind the veil of smoke, and in particular the song The Rising, the title track, he narrates a kind of the ascent of a firefighter up into the towers. And then the song sort of fades into a moment where it seems as if he's looking from the other side of death back onto the human world, that the firefighter is now narrating what he sees from the other side.
Right.
As a Christian, as a Catholic, that's profoundly resonant and moving to me, the idea that the dead are not lost to us.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
That, yeah. And so to imagine or remember 9/11 from the point of view of those who are lost, and what would they have us do? That is a, you know, what would they have us do to satisfy, to assuage the injustice of their loss? I can't answer that, but to ask the question, I think, the poets and the artists, and Springsteen in particular in this case, I think just brilliantly ask the question from another perspective.
We just have another
Christian I deeply resonate with.
Another approach, indeed, that can, you know, just standing at a different point, we can get a different view of the picture. The article is called A Father's 9/11 Prayer. It's by Christopher Premick. It's in the September 12th, 2016 issue of America. Professor, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our own editor-at-large, Father James Martin, who can talk about his experience on 9/11 and his book, Searching for God at Ground Zero. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.